Thank you very much for reading that. Thank you to all for being here. It's wonderful to see so many of you with us. We had a good full house at the 9:30 service, and it's really good to see the room well filled again now. I'd like to start off with a question this morning to the girls and boys and young people amongst you, and it is this. It is, how do we communicate with one another? So how do we speak to one another? Can you name some of the ways maybe that you or maybe your parents use to speak or to communicate? If you can think of a way, why don't you put your hand up and see if we can name some.
With your mouth.
With your mouth, that's right. Most of us communicate with our lips by opening and closing them. A little bit like that, right? Great, with our mouth. Can you think of other ways that we might communicate to one another? What's that?
Sign language,
yes, that's absolutely right. Really good, sign language. Other ways that we can make people understand what we're trying to say. Alexi, again?
Your phone.
Your phone, yes. This is especially for everyone from Hong Kong, right? We love our mobile phones. What are some of the other ways there that that we speak to one another? That's right, yeah. I guess you could point to different parts of your body. Yep, you could act out something, couldn't you? And people would understand what you wanted. What else can we see there? What do you think that person's doing right at the top? What are they doing?
Texting on the computer.
Yes, he's typing on his computer. Maybe he's writing an email, right? What else do we see there? What's the one on the lower left? What do your parents probably use way too much? Anyone ever heard of WhatsApp? Anyone out there actually heard of that? Okay, great. And maybe you're not quite old enough to be doing this yet, but I guess lots of people, when they talk to one another, they like to go out for coffee. And this is something that I really like doing and spend a lot of my time doing, which is great. Now, some of those ways, of course, are by writing. Some might be acting out. Some might be sign language. Some might be actually speaking. But they are all ways that we speak with one another and communicate with one another. And the question that I'd like us to think about this morning, both young people and grown-ups as well, is how does God actually communicate with us?
Through his word.
How does God speak to us? How do we know what God is like, for instance? So that's the question that we're going to be thinking about. God obviously is not using email. God doesn't use WhatsApp, as far as I'm aware. Very often we don't hear an audible voice from God when he speaks. So how does God actually communicate with us? And the reading that we've had from Psalm 19 is a really wonderful reading, because that helps us to answer that question this morning. Now, the grown-ups have been having a series for the last little while called God's Living Word, and this morning is the last sermon in that series, when we're really seeking to sort of round everything off and sum everything up and draw a few conclusions from it for our lives. And so what I hope that we will learn this morning is this line, this simple truth there on your screens, that God speaks through his world and through his word. Okay, God speaks through his world and through his word. And so I'd like you to all repeat that after me at various times during the sermon. I'm going to ask, how does God speak? And when I ask, how does God speak, I want you all right on cue to respond with, that was pretty good. The earlier service were much worse. So you guys did really well. So I don't think we need to actually practice that again. God speaks through his world and through his word. And that's what we see in Psalm 19. So we'll look at exactly what this means in a few moments. But this means that God speaks to us in some ways through creation and the world that we can see around us. But especially God has spoken to us through his word. That's where we can really get to know him, in a personal and intimate way. That's really where we see how we can have a relationship with him and come to know him, is through his word, the Bible. So then, point number one, God speaks through his world. Now I need three volunteers for this next part. So can I have three girls and boys or young people to put up their hands and volunteer? And we'll maybe get a grown-up or two if necessary to help us. All right, Alexei, why don't we get you up here? Can I have two more volunteers? Can we have one of you both come up? That would be great. And maybe if your father wants to come up as well. So, and he can help me here. So what I need is, I need one of you guys to be the stars, the heavens. I need one of you guys to be the sky, and one to be the sun, okay? So I'm going to ask for your dad's help here. So if you can put that on Alexei's head. And then we've got Daniel and Sabrina. So why don't we make Sabrina into the sky? And why don't we make Daniel into the sun there? That looks good. And we can see lots of stars there on the screen. So why don't you go and stand in sort of front of the universe there, and we're sort of recreating here. You've got to visualize that this is the universe, okay? The stars, the sky, and the sun. Right, Alexia, I want you standing right here, and then next to you, Sabrina, and then at the far end, Daniel, and we're going to get you organized. Right. Now, I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 19, and I want you to sort of act out a couple of little bits for me, okay? So whenever you hear a word like speaking or voice or declaring or proclaiming or speaking, anything to do with anything like that with speaking, I want you to point to your mouths, okay? So can everyone point to your mouths? Everyone know where the mouth is? Very good. And I'm going to ask Uncle Jeff to help with this as well. So even if these guys get it completely wrong, everyone can watch you and they will know what to do. Okay? So let's have a practice, right? So let's have a practice with this verse here. The heavens declare. Guys, we're going to have to practice that again, okay? These verses are going to take a long while. Okay? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Ah, okay, I think you're just about ready now for us to sort of go on the whole verses here, okay? And just notice how many words here there are about speaking and declaring and proclaiming. Okay, let's go. I went nice and slow at the earlier service, but maybe I'll sort of speed things up a little bit now so you guys can get it. Okay, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where the voice is not heard. The voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. I'm going to ask you guys just to stand there for a moment while we explain a few things about these verses, and then you can go to your back to your seats. Okay, so these verses are saying that God speaks through his creation. Okay, God speaks through the world that he has made. God made everything. And therefore, when we look at the stars, or we look at the sky, or we see a beautiful view, maybe the mountains and the sea, as you were driving here this morning, perhaps, we can see a little bit of what God is like through the world that he has made. So what can we learn about God from the world around us? Well, we can learn a lot, actually, about God from the world around us. We learn that God exists, for instance. We learn that God made everything. He is the almighty creator of the universe. We see a little bit of God's glory and God's power when we see a wonderful view, perhaps. We see that God cares for the world that he has made. We see maybe he brings sun and rain. He brings the seasons so we can have water and we can have food to eat. We see that God made us to appreciate many wonderful and beautiful things in the world that he has made. It's like everything in the world has a sort of made by God stamp, which is stamped on it. Now, some of the older young people or older boys and girls may have learnt a little bit about this man at school, a guy called Isaac Newton. I think I'm right in saying he was the person who discovered gravity. And he said this. He said, "This most beautiful system of the sun, planets and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being." And many other people throughout history, of course, have agreed with him there, that the world, the creation, the universe around us points to Almighty God. Okay, so thanks very much to our three helpers here. Well done. You can return now to your seats. Why don't we give them a round of applause? So I need to say just briefly that the one possible application of all this for us is that everyone is without excuse. Everyone is without excuse. Everyone in the world has access to creation. Everyone in the world can see the evidence for God if they are willing. That evidence is out there. And so God's word says that everyone who rejects him is without excuse. So Romans 1 and verse 20 puts it like this. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made," which is means from creation, "so that men are without excuse." So the Bible never tries to prove to someone that God exists. It just assumes that God's existence should be as obvious to us as the stars in the heavens and the sun in the sky. Yeah, this verse here and other verses in God's word make clear that we often try and put this knowledge out of our minds. There's another verse in Romans that says that we try and suppress the knowledge of the truth. Very often we ignore God, we try and push him to the margins of our lives, we rebel against him. Yet God says that we are without excuse. The evidence is there. If only we will look at his world, we can see that he exists and we know something about him. And so he is right to hold us accountable. We are without excuse. I think one other application of this for us is that this means that we can also share God confidently with those around us. They may not want to hear the message, but yet God says that the evidence is out there. God has spoken at some level through the world that he has made. So everybody, how does God speak? That was all right. It was a little bit slow. I wonder if some of you were just beginning to fall asleep there. But God speaks through his world and also through his word. And that's the next point that we move on to. And this is our main point for this morning, that God speaks through his word. So if we think about it for a moment, the world around us actually has great limitations when it comes to knowing God. Of course, if we look at creation, we can maybe see something of God's amazing power and glory. Yet we can never actually come to know God in a sort of intimate and personal way through creation alone. To know God in a personal way, we need to have a personal message from God himself. And that is what we have in God's written word, the Bible. Now, this time I need some more helpers. So I need five helpers. And people who are a little bit older are free to volunteer as well. So who would like to come and help me out? Okay, Georgina. And was one of your brothers volunteering as well? Did I see a twitch? No? Okay, here we go. Is this Tom or Harper? Tom. Hi, Tom. Please come up. Right, we need some more volunteers. We need three more. Alexi, again, you can come. And why don't you bring your father with you as well this time, seeing as it's Father's Day. And one more volunteer. And Sabrina, again, why don't you come up here? Right, now I've got some things for you in this bag. And each of the things I have for you here reminds us of a particular phrase in our reading, all right? So first of all, you can have some water, Georgina, and that reminds us of the phrase reviving the soul. Okay, next we've got this little chap. This owl here, it's one of my favourite toys, and this reminds us of wisdom. Okay, so you can have that there. So that's to remind us of the phrase making wise the simple. Alexei, you can have this heart. And that reminds us of the phrase giving a joy to the heart. I've got a couple more. You can get the torch. Sabrina, there we go. That's to do with giving light to our eyes. And last but not least, honey. And Arno, if you can hold the honey, and that's going to be mentioned in the last verse that we will read.
Thanks.
Okay? So again, we are going to read verses 7 to 11. And if you can hold your object really high when we come to the phrase which it represents. So not yet, although I greatly appreciate your enthusiasm. once we come to the phrase which your object represents, if you can hold it really high. And all of these verses are about God's word. Okay, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Yay, there we go. Good. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Great. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Torch, well done. Okay, good. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold. We couldn't afford any gold, so that's why there's no gold here. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey. There we go, than honey from the comb. I'm not sure whether that's honey from the comb or not, but I assume it was in a comb at one point in time. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Okay, and I'm going to ask you guys just to stay there for a moment, because I've got something else I need your help with in just a few minutes. But grown-ups and girls and boys, what is this? What do we actually learn here about God's word? Well, number one, I think we learn that God's word is reliable. It is true. It comes from God. Just look at some of the words that it uses to talk about it. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is right. It is radiant. It is pure. It is trustworthy. It is sure and righteous. So this means that we can know that God's word is true and reliable. It's like a tower that is stable. And won't ever fall down. God's word is the best foundation for building our lives on, which there is. Then I also think we see here that God's word is necessary. And this brings us back to some of these phrases which we have just been looking at. So God's word is necessary to revive our soul. Georgina, we need the water up. Revive our soul. Well done. That's great. So that means that it brings us spiritual life. It brings us a relationship with God. It helps us to know God like water on a hot day. Then it also brings wisdom. The Bible guides us. It teaches us how to live in a way that pleases God. It also brings... joy to the heart. Thanks, Alexis. I guess many people in our world are looking for happiness. But God's word reminds us that ultimate joy is only found in knowing him. Then it gives light. It brings light to the eyes, just like a torch brings light, maybe when it's really dark outside or in one of the rooms at home. So God's word helps us to see God clearly and how we can know him. And if you think about it for a moment, these are really amazing promises about what God's word does in our lives. It says that God's word is necessary if we're to experience the highest, deepest, widest, most filling, most satisfying relationship in all of life, which can only be found through knowing God. Now, all of these things are represented here, all come from God. It's God who gives spiritual life. It's God who gives wisdom. It's God who gives a real joy in our hearts. God gives light. And he says that the way that we begin to experience these things in our lives is through his word. As we read the Bible, we come to know God and experience the light and the joy and the wisdom and life that comes from knowing him. And then lastly, girls and boys, God's word is valuable. So look at verse 10 there, what it says about God's words. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Well done, Uncle Arno. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Right, you five, I need you to do one last thing for me before you can return to your seats. So I have a couple of things here, and I'd like you to try and choose amongst yourselves which you would like to actually have, okay? So on the first hand, we've got a bag of sweets. So we've got some packets of Skittles in there. And then you've got a bag of vegetables. I'm going to ask you to cast your vote in a moment for which you would like. We've got these sweets here, but look at these wonderful vegetables. We've got some yummy broccoli. Who likes broccoli? And then we've got an onion. Does anyone want an onion to eat? So we've got some sweets and we've got some vegetables. Okay, so raise your hands if you would like the vegetables. Okay, have we got three votes for the vegetables?
Yeah.
Okay, we're beginning to worry. Who would like the sweets? Okay, whereas we do have three vegetables here, so I'm very tempted to give a vegetable to each person that voted for the vegetables, and then the sweets to those that voted for the sweets. Okay, you can have your sweets in a moment. If you, those of you that picked sweets, why did you choose sweets? Why did you choose sweets, Tom? Because they're yummy. That's right, they're sweet and we like eating them. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats now, and thank you very much for being such good volunteers. You can take one of those back for your brother as well, and if you guys would like some vegetables. Okay, so hopefully you can see the point. Thank you. If anyone has anything else, which is mine, by the way, can you return it afterwards? Especially my owl. Well, thanks for that. Where did that owl go? It's there. That's good. Okay, hopefully you can see the point we're trying to make there. That's exactly what God says about his words. It's more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey, which of course was the, which would have been the sweetest thing that they had back then in the ancient world. So the writer's saying that God's word is quite simply the most valuable and the most wonderful thing that there is, more valuable than money and sweeter than the sweetest thing that we can think of and that we've ever tasted in our whole lives, because it tells us everything we need to know about God and have a relationship with him, which is the greatest relationship of all. Only by reading God's word or hearing it taught can we come to know what God is really like and how we can come to know him in our lives as we grow up. So, girls and boys, this means that we should be excited about reading God's word and getting to know it. God's word, as we've seen, has the power to bring us wisdom, to bring us light, to bring us life, to bring us true happiness in our lives. Therefore, we need to listen to it, maybe when our parents read it for us at home, when we hear it taught here on Sunday mornings, and perhaps if we go to a Christian school. And for the grown-ups amongst us as well, are these not things that we are all looking for in our lives? Are we not all looking for wisdom and life and light and true meaning and true happiness? And yet, how many of us, if we are honest, spend a lot of time and effort looking for these things in all the wrong places? We look for wisdom from the culture around us. Maybe we seek happiness or a sort of a full fulfillment of the next holiday or the next promotion at work, maybe. And yet, all the while, we ignore God. We push him to the margins of our lives. We never spend time in his word. We never listen to it being taught or explained. And then we wonder why God feels so far away and our lives begin to fall apart. Well, this reminds us this morning that God's word is quite simply the most precious thing that there is. Therefore, why would we not read it? Why would we not engage with it? Why would we not spend time in it with the God who made us and hearing him speak, why would we not be more active about sharing it with those around us? Now, of course, none of us are worthy naturally to know God. As we've seen, we naturally seek wisdom and joy and light in life in the wrong places. Yet the good news is that God has made a way for us to know him through the gospel. And that leads us on to our last point this morning, which is our response. And so for the last few minutes, I'd like to speak about our response to God's word, just as we round things off. I've got a friend called Jonathan Lee. Some of you here in this church will know him. And just in case you are worried, he has given me permission to share this story, which is coming up. So for those of you that know him, he used to work for a bank called UBS and was located in Zurich in Switzerland, in their offices there. And one New Year, he decided it was time for him to get fit. And so he mentioned to one of his work colleagues that he was planning on going running. This colleague was a middle-aged American man by the name of Quentin Wheeler. And Quentin said that he liked to keep fit too, and he would be willing to go running with my friend. My friend's colleague said he might find it a little bit hard keeping up, so my friend graciously offered to give him a head start if necessary. And then finally, the great day came. There were a few strange looks around the office when Jonathan said that he was going running with Quentin, but he assured them that the aging Wheeler would be absolutely okay and that he would let him go slow and wait for him at the end if need be. And so Quentin went off and started running ahead. After a little while, my friend couldn't see him anymore and started running all the harder. In actual fact, he ran flat out for 15 minutes and staggered back to the office, panting and wheezing and desperately out of breath, only to find Quentin Wheeler outside the office, dressed and waiting for him. "That was amazing," said Jonathan. "You did really well." "Well," said Quentin, "I told you I like to keep fit." When he had fully recovered, which probably took a while, and was back inside the office, one of his work colleagues called him over and showed my friend a web page. Montreal Olympics, 1976, 400 meter hurdles. Quentin Wheeler, the one-time number one hurdler in the USA, came fourth. Now, the reason I tell that story is because I think it reminds me of what it means for something to expose our lack of fitness. Something that exposes our lack of fitness. And I think the impact that God's written word had on the writer of our psalm this morning is exactly the same. It exposes his lack of fitness to know God as he allows God's word to really get to work in his life and begin to search his heart. So in verse 12, if you look at it there, he confesses that he's morally unworthy to know God. Who can discern his errors? He recognizes that he has hidden faults. He realizes that he sins in his life at times willfully against the loving God who made him. He knows that naturally sin rules over him, and he needs to be forgiven. And of course, for us this morning, this points us forward to the solution that God has given us in Christ. He is the one, of course, who God's word ultimately points forwards to and ultimately reveals. God's word is ultimately necessary, not only because it reveals the problem and the sin in our hearts, but rather much more greatly because it points us forwards to the a wonderful remedy for that, which is to be found in Christ. How he came to earth, how he lived as a man, how he was rejected and condemned to die on a cross, taking the wrath of a holy father against the sin of the world, and then rising again so that all who put their faith in him can be forgiven and come to know God. And that's the wonderful message of Christianity that we meet around every week here. And that's the message for all of us, whether we're young or old, this morning. This psalm reminds us, how has God spoken? Maybe we'll just try that one again, shall we? How has God spoken? That's great. Well done. And ultimately, of course, this points us on forwards to the great climax of God's revelation, the Word made flesh, which we see in Christ. However, notice that this psalm doesn't actually end there. It actually ends on a really intimate and really personal note. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. And so, girls and boys, this psalm forces all of us to ask ourselves a very personal question, which is, where are we? Have we ever asked God to become our rock and our Redeemer? Can we say that God is my rock and my Redeemer in our lives? It's maybe worth us all, whether we're young or old, asking where we are in relationship to this psalm. Is God sort of just a vague creator who is out there, who we only have a vague awareness of? We maybe believe God exists, but maybe little more. Have we begun to look at God's word, to study it, maybe with God's people, and begun to learn more about what he is like and how we can get to know him? Or is he a personal God for us? One who we can really say that we've come to know for ourselves and are in relationship with, where we can say, he is my rock and my Redeemer, with the same confidence that this psalmist was able to hear. Someone who we've really asked to come into our lives and have asked for forgiveness for the rebellion in our lives and going our own way, and asked him to bring us into new life through Christ's death on the cross. So, for those of us this morning who are Christians already, let's give thanks that God has spoken through his world and through his word, and that we can come to know him in a personal way. And if you're someone who said this morning and you aren't yet a Christian, then let me encourage you to really take whatever steps you need to discover more and to move towards a relationship with God. We have our Christianity Explored course that you heard a little bit about earlier on, which will be starting during this service next week, which is a really great opportunity for you to be exploring the claims of Christianity more and finding out the answers to some of the questions which were mentioned earlier on. So I'd really urge you and encourage you to think about that if you're interested. Or it may be that you have been thinking about these things for a while now, and are you really ready to make that final step of commitment to God and say, yes, I want all this to be really personal for me. I want God to come into my life and to forgive me, to bring me light and life and joy through Christ. I want to come to say about him with confidence, he is my rock and my Redeemer. Let's pray together.